If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now, here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Welcome to The Rational Revolution, everybody. Yes, you're right. This is not Chris Elfheim. This is Tony Palmieri, and Chris is on some personal business tonight. I think she's meeting with a group of seniors on some kind of project right here in beautiful Green Bay, and she's entrusting me with hosting the Rational Revolution for an hour. And I couldn't be more thrilled. She made me promise that I would be as purple as can be tonight, and I will try. And to help me with that will be the great Dean Rash, who is the alderperson from the third aldermanic district.
That's correct.
In the city of De Pere. Dean, how are you tonight?
I'm good, and I can't believe that Chris trusted you and I to do this by ourselves without any kind of babysitting.
I know. So I promise we will not disappoint. I want to welcome our listeners on 97.9 WGBW in Green Bay, 98.3 WISS in Oshkosh. I really hope all of you have our Civic Media app. In fact, if you go to the Civic Media app, you can get it wherever you get your apps. You can actually participate in this program tonight. You can send us a text message. So get that Civic Media app. And you're probably going to want to participate tonight because we're talking about the, I know it's a year away, the presidential election, Dean, is about a year away from now. And the New York Times came out with a poll recently that has sent many Joe Biden supporters into a panic. It looks like President Biden, Dean, is in quite a bit of trouble. It turns out that according to this New York Times poll, President Biden is actually losing to Donald Trump in 5 out of the 6 key battleground states. Biden is trailing Trump right now by 10 points in Nevada, 6 points in Georgia, 5 points in Arizona, 5 points in Michigan, 4 points in Pennsylvania. But here in Wisconsin, Biden is actually up by 2 points. So it looks like we're saving the day for the president so far. Now, I know there are a lot of Democrats listening right now that are saying, look, why worry about a poll that's a year before the election? But when I hear people say that, it reminds me of 2015-16, mm-hmm. where a lot of Democrats were saying, look, people are going to wake up. They're not going to vote for Trump. And then people woke up the day after the election, and who got elected?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. So what do you make of those poll results, Dean?
I'll say, first of all, I'm shocked that in Wisconsin that Biden's up by 2 based on his track record. And as normally Chris introduces me as her favorite conservative,
yes.
So I'll stick to that line. But I'm not surprised by the polls at all. I'm actually shocked it's taken this long for him to swing in this, you know, more of a distinct pattern than they are right now. Because I think the track record that we've seen in this country and the direction we're going really points to a president that's not leading very well.
Give us some examples.
Well, high inflation, high gas prices. We lost our energy independence. We have conflicts around the world that might not be directly related to us, but we gave a bunch of money to Iran to get 5 hostages out, and those dollars are being used now. In what we're hearing,
there's quite a bit of dispute about where those dollars are and how yes. they're being used. But let's talk about the inflation for a second, Dean. Sure. The president got passed the Inflation Reduction Act, and it was bipartisan. And inflation, believe it or not, is actually down in the last year. I know people still believe it's higher than ever.
It is higher than ever.
But it's down from where it was last year.
Sure, but it's still well above historic norms that we've seen over the past 20, 30, 40 years.
But the administration actually did something. When was the last time a president got a major bill passed with bipartisan support?
Well, I think if we go back and we look at the votes on that, I don't know that I'd call that bipartisan because it's still pretty much 50-50, right? Our House and our Senate is mm-hmm. is basically split down the middle with a few votes here and there on either side.
Right.
So it doesn't take much to swing. And if if we go to a hard conservative and talk about rhinos in the party, I think there's a few of those that might be sitting in key states where they might be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so in order to get reelected, they kind of follow that way, not necessarily fully believing what they're voting for.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the weaknesses of President Biden. I want to read for our audience some from this New York Times story about the poll.
Sure.
It says, discontent pulsates throughout the poll, with a majority of voters saying Mr. Biden's policies have personally hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The survey also reveals the extent to which the multiracial and multigenerational coalition that elected Mr. Biden is fraying. Demographic groups that backed Mr. Biden by landslide margins in 2020 are now far more closely contested as two-thirds of the electorate sees the country moving in the wrong direction. Yeah. Now, that's kind of what you just said, Dean.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Now, this is, again, a year before the election. Do you think as we get closer to the election, that feeling is going to remain to the point where you believe it will?
Yeah, I do. I think it will. But, you know, as we both have some, you know, fairly strong understandings of politics in general.
Yeah.
Maybe not at the federal level as much as the local level. However, you know, there will be some gamesmanship that is played, I believe, over the next part of this year.
Oh, yeah.
Where we'll see some, you know, maybe we'll see some drop in interest rates to help the president, prop the president up, make him look better.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see some stances on the southern border that make it look like he's done something. But if we go back for the entire 4-year time frame that he's in office, I think the evidence is there that there was some policies that really didn't work for the vast majority of the country.
Yeah. For our listeners that are out there, that are President Biden fans who think that he deserves reelection, I'm wondering how you folks respond to these poll results. Here's something in that poll, Dean, that I found shocking. It says voters under 30 favor Mr. Biden by only a single percentage point, which he did extremely well among that group.
Correct.
In 2020. His lead among Hispanic voters is down to single digits, and his advantage in urban areas is half of Mr. Trump's edge in rural regions. And while women still favored Mr. Biden, men preferred Mr. Trump by twice as large a margin, reversing the gender advantage that had fueled so many Democratic gains in recent years. So again, we're a year away. Mm-hmm. And I know every president in their third year probably has their you know, least popularity rating. But I'm actually confident that as this year goes on, the Biden folks are going to be able to demonstrate that he actually has done quite a bit in his administration. Not just the Inflation Reduction Act. As you know, Dean, and as a city councilor, you're interested in things like infrastructure development. Yep. You know, in Washington, infrastructure development was a running joke for 50 years. Can't you give the president some credit for getting an infrastructure development bill through?
No.
Why not? He did it.
I think the reason why I can't is because I don't believe that what he's put in place is actually going to be that effective for us. And I believe
there's shovels in the ground all over the country.
There are, and I think every president has done that in the past.
No.
So his infrastructure reduction plan, I don't believe has actually benefited. And I think the reason why you're seeing the groups that you just mentioned seeing the support of Biden drop to the levels that they're at is because they're feeling the pinch and the pain that's happened from this administration. It's not happening either quick enough or effectively enough for them. And it's interesting when we look at some of the minority groups out there, the ones that they always, the Democratic Party always right. kind of touts, those are the ones that are seeing the least or having the least support for them now, because I think the policies that were passed are really affecting them in a negative way.
Well, yeah, let me
they're not feeling support.
In a true spirit of being purple,
yeah.
let me reinforce what
That's why Dean, I like being the red person. I don't have to try to be purple.
let me reinforce what Dean just said in a spirit of purpleness here.
I appreciate
Chris
that,
will love this. The Times article says black voters, long a bulwark for Democrats and for Mr. Biden, are now registering 22% support in these states, the battleground states, for Mr. Trump, a level unseen in presidential politics for a Republican in modern times. So even though Donald Trump is facing, I believe, 91 felony counts, He's actually making gains in so-called minority populations. How would you explain that? Is it just opposition to Biden?
No, I don't believe it's opposition to Biden. I think it's the reality of what they've experienced. I also don't believe that those 91 felony charges, most of them are warranted. I don't know if any of them are warranted. I think this is all political. You know, just today, there was an effort to remove him from the ballot in a state, and that was actually overturned by that state Supreme Court. And I can't remember which state off the top
right,
of my head.
Right.
But that was just, so that was one of those charges that was pending against, or one of those accusations against him that he's not fit to be in office. And I think most of these charges, as the other ones have been in the past, have proven to be false and not worthy of prosecution. I think we'll see more of that happening.
I don't think anything's been proven to be false yet. He's still actively in...
Correct. Going to be proven to be false. Yeah. But there's an assumption, especially in our media, that we're seeing these things have to be pushed forward, and they don't necessarily pan out the way they do. We'll talk about Russia hoax, right?
Yeah.
So these things that the media runs with in support of the Democratic Party, I think we're finding that those aren't real. So all these other, I'll say, trumped up charges, for lack of a better phrasing, really come down to the fact that they're politically trying to remove him from the chance to be the president.
I think that we're going to see that most of these charges are not trumped up. And there's a school of thought. I know a lot of our listeners believe this, that Donald Trump is literally running for president to be able to pardon himself from these charges. And from what we know about Mr. Trump at this point, that doesn't seem to me to be all that out there. There could be some of that. And surely, Dean, if Barack Obama had sparked a kind of January 6th type of activism in Washington, I'm politely calling it activism instead of insurrection, you guys would have been hollering for Obama to be in federal prison, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have.
Yes, you would have.
I would not, because I didn't think it was an insurrection that happened on January 6th.
All right.
I saw worse than Portland than I saw.
That's a good
Washington, D.C.
You know, when we get back, we're going on break. When we get back, we're going to ask Dean Rash about the Trump phenomenon. What is the appeal of Donald Trump? Stay with us. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Tony Palmieri, pinch hitting for the great Kristen Alfheim. And I'm joined here by Dean Rash, alderperson for the DePere Common Council. We're talking about the presidential election that's a year away, but President Biden got some poll results from the New York Times that did not bode well for him. And it looks like it's entirely conceivable that Donald Trump could be the nominee again in 2024. And we have a message that says, I listened to this show for a bit of reality. Oh my God, I listened to this show for a bit of reality. If I want Breitbart talking points, I'll crawl back into the sewer with Bannon.
I'm not sure who Breitbart is.
I don't know if they're talking about me, but... Are you a Steve Bannon kind of...
I'm not.
You're not a Steve Bannon guy.
I don't listen to Steve Bannon. I don't read Breitbart.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the message. We'd love to have more. And please go to our Civic Media app. You can text our program. Dean, let me ask you, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump now. Obviously, he's got a base of support.
Yep.
He's very popular among certain groups in the Republican base. But... How influential is he really? For example, as we record tonight, last night was an election in Kentucky, and the Democrat won re-election, right? Governor Beshear, and his challenger, I believe his name was Cameron, was the Attorney General of the state, very conservative, actively endorsed by Donald Trump. Trump's endorsement didn't help in Kentucky, a red state. How would you explain that?
Yeah, you know, you've been around the state politics too, and I would say it's less about the big endorsements. It's more about getting out and talking to people, knocking on the doors, getting your name out there, getting your message out there. I think anybody who just takes a Donald Trump endorsement and tries to run with that as their saving grace to win an election, I think they're foolish. I think you really got to get out and work.
But doesn't it seem to you, Dean, that since 2020, in so many United States Senate races, governor races, when Trump gets involved, the Republican loses? Carrie Lake in Arizona, mm-hmm. Herschel Walker in Georgia. We can give numerous other examples. Sure. The woman who ran for governor of Michigan. You don't think being associated with Trump hurts these candidates?
I don't know for sure, one way or the other. I just know that if you want to get elected, you got to work for it.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely
so
do.
So whoever your endorsement is, I mean, if you endorsed me, you know, granted we're small-time potatoes here, but it probably doesn't, you know, carry a lot of weight. But his name does carry some weight, but at the same time, they've got to be good candidates. They have good messaging. They got to get out and they got to work and make it happen.
Yeah, that's absolutely
because
correct.
we've seen it on the other side of the aisle too, where some prominent, you know, Democrat endorses somebody, they lose. Right. I think it has more to do with the candidate making it happen and their messaging and what they stand for.
I agree, but let's try and see if Dean, if you can help us understand the Trump phenomenon. Now, you consider yourself to be a Republican.
I do.
Right?
Yep.
Donald Trump obviously was a kind of Republican we had not seen before.
Before he was a Democrat. Right.
How would you explain the appeal of Donald Trump to people who call themselves Republicans? Not all Republicans, right? Because you have people that, like in the Lincoln Project.
The Never Trumpers.
The Never Trumpers, right?
Yeah.
But obviously there's millions of people who call themselves Republicans who love Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So how would you explain that?
There's a couple of things, and I reached out to some friends, conservative friends, and asked some questions too to kind of get their opinion. Mm-hmm. My first thought on it, from my perspective, is that a lot of us who are on the conservative Republican side for years have been called names, have been accused of being, you know, misogynistic, hate women, racist, just, you know, run the gamut. When you identify yourself as a conservative or Republican, say you've got an opinion, well, you're just a racist. What I think from my perspective happened was Donald Trump came in and said, I'm not tolerating that anymore. It was like the big brother that you're getting bullied at school all the time. And finally this big brother stepped in and said, I'm going to take on this charge. Number one, that was one thing that I felt, that he was finally speaking back to the things that so many Republicans have been accused of in the past, which are not true. They're just made up to kind of create emotional fights with people to try to disparage you without any kind of facts or evidence. But the other thing that a friend of mine talked to today, Scott, he said, you know, Jim Jordan kind of put it in a very succinct manner. When Trump ran for office the first time, not the first time, but the time he won, I should say.
Yeah.
He actually had a bunch of plans, ideas, thoughts, what he was going to do. And he did those. And I don't know that we've had any president, Republican or Democrat, really follow through solely and committed to their campaign promises, where he did that better than most presidents in the past. And I'm talking Republican and Democrat.
But besides the massive tax cut that mostly benefited millionaires, let's be honest about
benefited
it.
Benefited me.
It mostly benefited high-income people.
Yep. Kind of disagree with that argument. But.
And you conservative Republicans, you're always concerned about the deficit, right?
Correct.
I think the Congressional Budget Office has shown repeatedly those Trump tax cuts are a big driver of that deficit. So how do you reconcile these things? You want fiscal responsibility. And really, besides, what else did Donald Trump make good on besides the tax cut?
The wall. Energy independence.
The wall.
Yep.
Oh, I must have missed it.
Did
Mexico write out the check for that? I can't remember.
They did not. However, we did stop the flow of immigrants coming in to the point where we had a controlled border, which we don't have today.
And all it took was putting kids in cages.
Were also done by the Obama administration. Yeah, so let's be clear on that. But I would say, you know, some of the things when we talk about Donald Trump, the phenomenon, I think it really is that people felt like we were moving in the right direction.
But in all seriousness, Dean, when he said that he fell in love with Kim Jong-un, right, What previous Republican president would even give Kim Jong-un, a dictator, the time of day?
We do it with Xi Jinping in China right now, well, and Vladimir Putin. So, I mean, I guess it's happening.
Right. My point is, it just seems like Donald Trump has this type of appeal that gets people maybe to sacrifice their prior positions, that things that prior presidents, we would never have tolerated certain behaviors, you will tolerate it from Donald Trump.
Well, I would
including
say,
including sparking an insurrection.
Well, we disagreed on that off air before, but I think the catch really here is that, yes, he's an abrasive guy at times, but is he willing to fight like hell for this country? Absolutely.
He's willing to fight like hell for himself. We
this
know
country.
That. That's, you know, when, as you know, there are some Republicans running in the primary that would like to run against Joe Biden. And they had a debate last night. And I guess the major challengers are Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott,
and Chris
thank
Christie.
You, from South Carolina, Chris Christie, and Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, and Asa Hutchinson, the former governor of Arkansas. When we get back, we're going to talk about those alternatives to Trump. If Trump ends up in prison, which one of these candidates does Dean think would run best against Joe Biden? We're going to go on a news break here. Stay with us.
If you'd like to join the Rational Revolution and engage, download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose your station, WGBW or WISS, and click on the text button in the lower right-hand corner. Looking at today's issues through a politically purple lens, this is the Rational Revolution. And once again, here's Chris Elfheim.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Tony Palmieri, pinch hitting for Chris Elfheim, and we're talking about presidential politics with Dean Rash of the DePere Common Council. Go to the Civic Media app if you'd love to participate or like to participate. You can text us. And Dean, before break, we were talking about the main challengers to Donald Trump if the former president ends up in jail or otherwise not able
or to, back at Mar-a-Lago
or back at Mar-a-Lago or not able to run his campaign, which of these Republicans are best able to go against Joe Biden? Let me do it this way. Two of the candidates, Doug Burgum, who's the governor of North Dakota, and Asa Hutchinson, who's the former governor of Arkansas, they're pretty much both out of it now.
I believe so.
And yet, now, I'm not likely to vote for, say, a Doug Burgum or an Asa Hutchinson, but they strike me as two really decent guys. Mm-hmm. How is it, in your judgment, that the most quote-unquote decent candidates don't seem to have a shot in the Republican Party these days?
Well, I don't know that decent's a qualification to be president, number one.
But during all you guys wanted to talk about was character during the Clinton years.
Well, character matters, but I think just saying they're decent doesn't necessarily mean that they're presidential material. I like Doug Burgum.
Yeah.
You know, and
he's an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good guy. I think he's done some good things in North Dakota. He's done good things with his businesses. I think he's an overall good guy. Is he presidential? I don't think so. But at the same time, I think he's worthy of some sort of appointment into a cabinet spot for whoever the next president is in 2024. I'm assuming Republican, but anyway. but I think that he's worthy of something like that because I think he's got great potential to help our country.
What about Asa Hutchinson?
Not necessarily a big fan of Asa Hutchinson. Again, nice guy. I don't know that he's presidential material. I just have never really been a big fan of his, so simple as that.
He's gone after Trump, very much like the former governor of New Jersey. What do you think about Chris Christie? Now, Chris Christie gets booed and harassed and hassled at rallies from the Trump supporters.
And he should.
He should, but Don't you think that Chris Christie is, he keeps saying, I'm just speaking the truth.
And he may be, in his perspective and what he understands and knows. Mm-hmm. I just think Chris Christie is a little bit more about Chris Christie than he is for our country. It's more self-promotion. He's on all the talk shows. He's on all the different media sites. I mean, I just think it's more Chris Christie, and it's more about him being anti-Trump than being about pro-country, pro-America.
But if you look at his arguments, he seems to be saying, and even some of the candidates agreed with this in the debate last night, that Republicans are losing a lot of elections, 2018, 20, 22, yep. And then last night in 23. And you don't want to put this all on Trump.
No, I put it on the head of the RNC, which is Rona. I think she's done a terrible job of organizing at the top from the Republican standpoint of setting an agenda and a point of view.
So this is Ronna McDaniel. Yeah. Ronna Romney McDaniel. They made her take the Romney out of it. Wasn't she? Isn't she Mitt Romney's niece?
I don't know her background. Yeah. I just know that she, there's been conversations about her probably over the past 3 to 5 years about her effectiveness in running the RNC. So.
Well, I she's accommodated the MAGA Republicans. She has not discouraged them from, right? And so then why is she to blame? Because a lot of the MAGA Republicans are losing the elections. So why is Ronna McDaniel to blame?
I think it has more to do with bringing the party together and getting a focused message. Because we talked about this off air, yeah, a little bit about having that consistent message and where's that coming from? Republicans in general tend to be not as cohesive,
yeah,
because they're true individual thought thinkers, right? So they've got their own ideas and thoughts on how to get things done and make it better. But we lack that central direction for everybody. And she's the one that's supposed to help bring that together. Now,
right,
is she a bad person? No. Is she helping us as Republicans, helping us win? It doesn't look like it.
Let's talk about some of the other candidates. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. Now, he was supposed to be the primary, the main challenger to Donald Trump. And so far, his campaign has not picked up steam. To me, and I this is not a partisan statement, I'm trying to be objective. To me, he just seems like an awful candidate. He seems really wooden, very uncomfortable. What's your sense of Ron DeSantis?
Yeah, I would agree with. I wouldn't say he's an awful candidate, but I would say it's the personality. It's the, you know, how do you connect with people?
Yeah.
If we look at two effective connectors over the years, Ronald Reagan could do it well.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump did too. They both had a charismatic style to them that attracted people to them. Ron DeSantis, good guy, good governor, has not been able to make that connection, I think, more so personality-wise than policy-wise.
Don't you think also, Dean, that DeSantis' campaign shows the limits of the kind of culture war campaign? I mean, this guy is like running against Disney, and he's running against wokeness on the left. And aren't we seeing, when push comes to shove, that, yeah, there are some people concerned with those issues, but are you really going to win the presidency on those issues?
You're not going to win the presidency, but is what he's doing right? In my opinion, yes. I mean, we have to get back to treating each other like human beings and stop trying to separate everybody. Because the biggest part of, I think, our problem in this country is we spend more time separating,
right,
people based on what they look like, how they believe, sexual orientation. We have to just start calling everybody Americans again and just bring it back together as a whole. We can have different views on how do we grow the economy and how do we make sure the environment's taken care of? But we spend more time talking about identity politics than anything today.
Well, of course, the trans community would say that Governor DeSantis has been the most divisive politician in the state. I think the NAACP in Florida labeled Florida as being dangerous for Black Americans based on DeSantis. So I don't. You're not suggesting that he would be a unifying candidate, are you?
I would, but you're also talking about two organizations that are very much identity politics driven. So
what about Nikki Haley? Now I find Nikki Haley in the New York Times poll, it showed that of all the candidates running in the primary, the one that actually runs the best against Biden is Nikki Haley.
So my question to you, would you vote for Nikki Haley?
Probably not. Probably not.
At least we're both consistent in our views.
But I will say, however, that Nikki Haley, for example, I watched the debate last night,
yep,
and she seems to be the only candidate that, for example, is trying to be rational on the abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's picking up steam on that. In a Republican audience in Florida, she got a big ovation. She's, you know, in fact, I don't know how you look at it. She seems to be the only candidate that understood that Supreme Court decision, because the Supreme Court decision said, we want to throw it back to the states.
Where it belongs, I agree.
Right, yeah. Right? I'm not sure it belongs there, but she said, we should respect that.
Right.
Right? And she said, some states are going to go, you know, so-called pro-life. Some are going to go pro-choice.
Right.
And so it looks like she is looking for a way to rescue the Republican Party from this mess that they've created. Because as you know, you guys used to be able to run against abortion in every campaign, knowing full well that Roe versus Wade was there.
Right.
But now, bottom line is, what do you feel about Nikki Haley?
I like Nikki Haley. She right now, she's my first choice. But I'm also open-minded to what everybody else is doing. There's a few people. I wouldn't vote for Chris Christie. I wouldn't support him, right? But
even if he got the nomination?
If he got the nomination, I would.
All right.
Because I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that for Nikki Haley, I think she has had some really good talking points, and she's been very clear on her position on abortion. Now, I'm pro-life, just like most conservatives are. I'm pro-life. But I know it's not my job to step into the middle of a very personal and tragic decision for a family if something happens and they've got to make that private decision.
Right.
In terms of a form of birth control, I don't agree with that. But if there is something that's health of the mother, health of the baby, some other really very personal overlying situations, it's their choice. Yeah. I'm not stepping in the middle of it. I'm not making a decision. But am I pro-life? Absolutely.
Unless Trump, for some reason, has to leave the race, can you see a scenario where Haley gets the nomination by defeating Trump in a primary?
Not necessarily by defeating him, but if he decides to step out and endorse her, you know, we talked about endorsements earlier. I think she would have a chance at winning the presidency. Pretty solid chance. I think she's pulling ahead of Biden right now.
You know,
right?
I think you Democrats listening, see, I think Biden can beat Trump. I really do, but If I were a Democratic Party activist, Nikki Haley would be the one I would be most afraid of. She governed as a conservative when she was governor of South Carolina, but she was not like a MAGA conservative. For example, I was impressed when she led the charge to remove the Confederate flag from the state capitol, which, you know, no one expected a Republican governor to do that. But she responded to that horrible mass murder from the Dylan Roof.
Charleston,
and she acted, and she seems more pragmatic than the rest of them. Tim Scott, who's a U.S. senator from South Carolina, to me, he seems to be running for Pope.
I don't know if Pope. I think he's running for vice president is what he's running for.
I mean, he just every one of his responses, I think he gets deep into kind of like evangelical mode. He's not picking up steam either. How would you?
I like Tim Scott as well. Again, the charisma side of it that we just talked about a little bit ago, it's not there for him necessarily. Has he done a good job in the Senate? I believe so, from what I know about him. I'm not going to say I'm an expert on Tim Scott, but I also think in his campaign, he's got the right ideas and the right thoughts. He just doesn't have the charisma to push it over the top. He's a good guy, good conservative guy, you know, family man, up from the bootstraps type of thing. You know, he grew up poor. He grew up a poor black person in the South.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the American dream when you think about it. He's proven to many of the people that are out there that you can do it no matter who you are, where you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to have the will and the drive to do it on your own.
See, and I think that this is not a normal year for a presidential primary with Trump in there. Trump is so dominating the space. I think if there were not a Donald Trump, someone like Tim Scott may have picked up a lot more support.
Potentially, but I will say, to go back to the first part of this, I think any one of the top three in the Democratic primary, excluding Trump, can beat Joe Biden. And I also don't think that Joe Biden will actually get the nomination from the Democratic Party.
After we go on a break, we're going to talk about that. What about this Vivek Ramaswamy, the entrepreneur who, you know, he's says a lot of controversial things, and for a while he was doing really well in the polls. What's your take on him?
I think people see through him a little bit. I think Vivek started out pretty strong, pretty hot. I think what he's doing now is he's trying in a very bad way, to be a younger version of maybe a Donald Trump who's abrasive and pushing back and hard. He's asking great questions, but he's also crossing the line a few times where he's turning off some of the people in the party and even, you know, people who are not in the party.
Right.
So I think for Vivek, I think the problem is he's pushing a little too hard, and I think people are seeing through the charade, so to speak.
But I think the one value that he's providing in this campaign is on foreign policy, because he seems to be the only candidate that is very much opposed to any more Ukraine aid. You know, Nikki Haley, she basically has the Biden foreign policy. She wants much more aid to Ukraine. She wants much more aid to Israel. And it was pretty clear at this debate. In fact, didn't Ramaswamy call Nikki Haley Dick Cheney in high heels?
Yes, and she wears 5-inch and ones she can run.
So I mean, I think this is something worth thinking about, because the George W. Bush's foreign policy was not that popular, right?
Not necessarily, but I would say that I think the support for Ukraine has to be balanced,
right?
Because we do have to protect from Russia trying to go into NATO countries, which I think could be a possibility.
Well, I mean, but again, you would support Trump if he got the nomination.
Yes, you would.
Right. But yep. I think Trump's commitment to Ukraine is not all that clear. He's upset with Netanyahu and Israel. Don't you get concerned about how he's personalizing all these issues?
Really? No. And we can talk about Ukraine and the Bidens later if you want.
He's a true believer. We're going to go on one more break. When we get back, we're going to talk about Dean's theory that Joe Biden may not even be the Democratic nominee. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Rational Revolution. I'm Tony Palmieri, substituting for the great Kristen Alfheim. Chris will be back next week, I promise. We do miss her. We're recording in beautiful downtown Green Bay, and I'm here with Dean Rash, alderperson from the great city of De Pere, the beautiful city of De Pere. Love
Absolutely.
It out there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great. In part because of the city council, but...
A lot of it, yeah. Yeah.
I'd say maybe a tiny part, but I'll give you some credit for that. And before we went on break, Dean threw out this theory. We're talking about presidential politics. Dean threw out this theory that Joe Biden, who turns 82 or 81 this month.
Yep, I believe right, so.
He turns 81. Dean believes he may not even be the nominee. Now, what's your reasoning for that? How would that happen?
Well, I think it's gut feel. And I think what it's going to come down to is the fact that, and I know we probably disagree on this, but I do not believe he is cognitively well enough to be president. Even some of the physical drops and things that he's had in terms of the falls, the not knowing how to exit a stage, I think there's more to his health than is being revealed to anybody. And I believe that there are obviously people in the background helping, like any president gets. But I think they're helping at a different level than any other. So my sense is, and my gut is, and just kind of some of the things I read, see, and listen to would lead me to believe that he may be doing the job.
Yeah.
But that the Democratic Party sees the weaknesses, because just look at the polling. I think there could be a change. And there are Democratic contenders coming out that want to run against him.
You know, I have to say... I was never the biggest Joe Biden fan when he's in the United States Senate. We've got a text from Chris. Hey, fellas, it's Chris. I look forward to being back next week. Dean, you may be in a timeout.
Oh, I doubt that. I think I know Chris is just joking.
Yeah, she is. But I'll tell you.
But that's good.
I've actually been surprised by the job that Biden has done. He has gotten some major pieces of legislation through the Congress. And I think that in large part, they have a messaging problem. I don't think they've gotten the word out about what he has done. The semiconductor deal, the Inflation Reduction Act, the infrastructure bill, these are big items that other presidents have talked about but have not done. I do agree that the age issue is a big issue for Americans. Yeah. Although the Biden people are probably going to have a campaign slogan, something like, I don't know, 80 is the new 65 or something like that.
That's a bumper sticker I'm not putting on my car.
But what is your theory? I mean, Robert Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. tried to join the Democratic primaries. He was getting no traction in the Democratic primaries. He's now running as an independent. Correct. But don't you think Bobby takes more support away from Trump because he tends to appeal to the vaccine skeptics and the, you know, the deep state critics? So I'm not sure if the Biden people have to worry about Bobby Kennedy. And there's Marianne Williamson, who's running in the Democratic primary. She's not really getting I really like Marianne Williamson, but she's not getting any traction. So I know who's the governor of California, Gavin Newsom. Mm. He's been interviewing all over the country. Some people think he may be ready to step in. But do you honestly think there might be a point where, how would this work? The Democratic Party officials would get Biden to step down, or how would this happen?
No, I don't think they would step down. And there's another one that entered here recently, too, in the last week or two.
The guy from Minnesota.
Is that, yes.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Phillips or William, something like that. But anyway, so there is another candidate out there. But we've not really seen that in the past where you've got an incumbent, where you've got people from their party coming in to run in a primary against the incumbent president. But I would say my theory, some of the things that I've heard people say, is that it won't be necessarily a primary thing. It'll be at the national convention where they'll just open the floor and ask for nominees, and they've got somebody picked out and selected, and that nomination process will happen, and Biden won't win the nomination at the party convention.
Yeah, I you know, you may be right. I would be shocked if that happened. I'm sensing a lot of loyalty to President Biden within the hardcore establishment Democrats.
But even that polling is down quite a bit. Yeah. I think he's polling right around 30%, maybe 29% for support within the party.
But this has happened before. I'm sure you remember, was it 1992 when Pat Buchanan challenged George H.W. Bush in the primaries? And he significantly weakened him.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Teddy Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter in 1980. He significantly weakened him.
And we had, who was the Texas computer guy?
Perot.
Ross Perot.
Ross Perot.
Yeah. He put a struggle into the Republican Party.
We have another text, Dean. Why is 80 terrible and ancient, but 78 is young and vibrant? That's right. Trump, I think, is 77 now.
And I didn't say age. Right. I believe you brought up age. I brought up cognitive ability.
Yeah. I mean,
I think Biden's cognitive ability is going down rapidly.
But he's never urged people to take bleach for COVID. Isn't that?
Well,
I mean, a lot of people think
that may be a fact,
a lot of people think that Donald Trump has cognitive issues. You clearly don't believe that.
Not as much as we see with President Biden.
But
I will say, I know people challenged Trump's cognitive abilities back when he was president.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of traction that way. But it seems like it's off color to challenge Biden.
But
and Biden's on the stage and in speaking and things like that, much more aware of the fact that I at least am, and other people, that he mm-hmm. does have some issues. Even hearing that from the left side too, that there are some definite issues with his cognitive abilities.
I think our next president is going to be either Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or Nikki Haley. And one reason why I think this is because all three of them have one thing in common. People always underestimate them. All right. I think Biden has always been underestimated. No one ever thought he was going to get the nomination in 2020. I didn't think so. All right. Trump, obviously, a total long shot in 2016. And I think Nikki Haley, if you look at her political career, has always shocked the critics. Mm-hmm. And I expect it's going to be with them. It's obviously 1 year away from now. But you don't think that former President Trump is going to end up literally in prison with any of these felonies?
No. Right. And I do want to say before we go, my wife appreciated some AC/DC being played because I was wearing the T-shirt.
Yes, this conservative Republican is wearing an AC/DC t-shirt. It's been great hosting Rational Revolution. Chris Alfheim will be back next week. And thank you all so much for listening. Bye-bye for now.
Have a good night.